Hi, this is the Maverick artist Victor Hugo reporting modern art concert journalism for the Modern Art Music Movement. It is May 5th, 2024. It is Orthodox Easter here in the former Soviet Union, Republic of Georgia, near the border with Russia, Turkey, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, a camel ride away from Kazakhstan, the Ukraine, Israel, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, Palestine, Yemen, and the Gaza Strip. My job is not to be politically correct. It is to witness, observe, analyze, and document the beautiful chaos that surrounds us all so that future generations can understand how we got to this moment in time where I am blessed to be joined by Dustin Nemos, interestingly enough, on Orthodox Easter. And we first spoke on Easter Sunday in the United States, March 31st, 2024. So I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, Dustin, but we are actually reconnecting after having been cut off abruptly during this information war. We were getting into some pretty intense topics and we were cut off. So there have been reports on everything from SGT report to other channels that podcasts are being cut off, or that the people on their Rumble channels and on their BitChute channels and even on Brighteon are being shadow banned or censored, or that the podcast, you can't hear the volume on it. So we are definitely in a time when the truth is being hidden, and not only that, but being made illegal now. So Dustin, I want to thank you for coming on again, and I'm going to share the screen with you so we can just pick up right left off, and so that the audience can understand where we are. Okay, so I'm going to start sharing the screen right now. Okay, can you see the screen?
Yep. It's okay. It's kind of doubled up though. We see it twice.
Yes, you do.
Maybe that's just my end. Never mind, that's my end.
Okay. So this is for those people who were watching this, which is the podcast that we were doing, which was cut abruptly at the 55-minute, 54-second mark. So we're going to just kind of try to pick up exactly where we left off, which is basically the levels of goyim knowing is hitting max right now. And that's why we're going to try to get through this as quickly as possible. The ADL hotline is off the chain right now as well, because people are seeing the terrorism, Zionist style, financial. They're following the money, and they're also understanding what's going on and how the Holocaust is being used to shut up the goyim. So where we left off was with the Federal Reserve and the money. But I want to get into something before we go back to that. Dustin, I want to get your opinion on this. I don't know if you've seen this, but check this out.
This is something I've written about, but it's so important that I'm making this quick, short video as well. We have to stop trying to educate anti-Semites, and we have to hurt them instead. Decades of education has not worked. It has not worked. It is the worst it has ever been. It has factually failed. This is the most dangerous time to be a Jew in our living lifetime. Education has failed to stop those who are anti-Semitic. Stop trying to cure them. Stop trying to heal them. Stop thinking it's your job to be some kind of nurse or therapist for them, or savior for their fucking hatred. Stop trying to heal anti-Semites and hurt them. That will make them stop. They will not stop because of intellectual ideas. They will not stop because you magically put butterflies and unicorns and fairies and love into their heart. They will stop out of fear because they know they will get hurt. They will stop because it is unpleasant to get hurt. And when I say hurt, I'm talking, of course, within the law, every legal means available to you. If someone transgresses and is anti-Semitic, you must, to the best of your ability, ruin their fucking life. Ruin their fucking life as best you can, without remorse, without pity, and without any excitement. Just factually, objectively cause them pain. Legally, with their reputation, financially, damage them, hurt them. Maybe they'll think twice, and maybe other anti-Semites will think twice too. It's not your job to educate them. It's not going to work. By all means, continue educational programs in order to reach those who aren't anti-Semitic or who haven't transgressed, but stop trying to educate away anti-Semitism. We need to hurt those who try to hurt us. It's a deeper, more immediate, more emotionally understood thing in the very cells of your body to be scared of getting hurt, to be scared of experiencing a cost to your life and reputation and your pocket and your freedom. So that is the future of stopping anti-Semitism. It's not education, it's fucking hurting anti-Semites. And it's very important. It's quite a subtle but big shift. It's not subtle, actually. It's a big fucking shift of where we're at. That is how to do it. The current methodology has not worked. It's failed. Have the grandeur and the intellectual honesty to admit that this is the worst it's ever been. And all of the programs and initiatives...
He talks a lot.
...try and educate people in anti-Semitism, they have fucking failed. So we need to instill a fear in people and pain and let them know that there's a fucking cost if they hurt us and that we fucking unashamedly will stand proudly behind the pain we will administer to anyone who tries to fuck with us or fucking hurt us. Okay? And that's all I want to say. That's the fucking way. Don't heal anti-Semites. Fucking hurt them.
So, Dustin, by definition, according to the new law that's been passed in the United States of America, I suppose you would fit the definition of someone who is an anti-Semite. How does that make you feel, what this man says?
Well, clearly not the children of Abraham. I'm just going to point that out with his hate-mongering and rhetoric. But basically, I mean, the gloves are off and the demons are showing their true nature. And I am, in fact, anti-demon. I am not anti-Semitic, and Jews are not of the line of Shem. They're actually Hamitic, technically speaking, of the line of Ham, his brother. So we could get into the nuance of that, but I'm anti-demon. I'm anti-evil, and I don't care if that offends them or if they want to hurt me or persecute me. It was promised as the path that I took. In fact, my God told me, they will come for you. They will persecute you if you stand in my name.
Can you see my screen right now, or did I stop sharing?
You stopped.
Oh, okay. Now, one thing that surprises me is in the United States, everything that he said is not considered hate speech. You can say whatever you want about Christians. You can say whatever you want about Blacks, Muslims, Buddhists, Seventh-day Adventists, Scientologists. But the one people that you cannot call out are the Jews. You can even say whatever you want about Zionists and globalists, but you just can't say anything about the Jews. Why is that? And why is that going in my homeland of the United Slaves of America?
Well, they have all the power. No other group has that kind of power. Islam does not have that power, despite what Alex Jones tells us. It ain't the Nazis. They were overthrown and basically all of their assets were seized. Their government was taken. Their women and children were enslaved and their soldiers were genocided. And their scientists were Project Paperclipped over to the U.S. under basically NASA. And they're deceiving people still to this very day. So it ain't the Nazis, despite what Alex Jones also tries to say. I mean, he's all about everybody except the Jews. That's kind of that's how it works with all of them, really. I call them the never Jews. And there are many of them. They'll skirt the issue. They'll call them the deep state, the globalists, the communists. They'll call them anything, but they'll never name the root of all evil, the common denominator of every organized evil on earth throughout 99% of human history. And I can prove that.
Now, it's interesting. You have been on the SGT Report show with Sean, and I was recently on the SGT Report show as well. And I am mudslinging, as Sean says. I'm just pointing out things that his audience has pointed out in their comments. here's a comment that I just received from someone in his audience. Well, this is in regards to those who haven't seen this. I appeared on his show with this beanie on, and it says, love Victor, he names them. I never found someone that uses Jew humor and Jewish supremacy and tranny or black or women's privilege mockery as humor to wake people. It's great. He really gets it. Sean, it's illegal to support Israel in America. It's illegal to call out Jews in America. It's not illegal to call Zionists. It's not illegal to call out Rothschild. Zionist has been around since Jews created them in 1770-ish, and he's right. Jesus said the Jews are the synagogue of Satan. Their Bible calls to kill all Christians who follow Jesus Christ as it's idolatry, and they say punishment will be death. This guy says, finally, a dude plays the Jews with their own game. So the thing is that, I don't know if this happened when you were on Sean's show, SGT, but he doesn't name the Jew. He calls them Zionists. And I tried to explain to him that I also used to think that it was Zionists and globalists. But when I followed the money and when I researched the history, as you have, I realized it's the synagogue of Satan and those who call themselves Jews. So I got this from someone today. Hey, Victor, once again, Sean is at it again on the SGT report by letting his guest, Dr. Lee Vliet, say the word Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. Evil, 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 with not one mention of the evil atrocities the Jews have done, like the Bolshevik Revolution, Holodomor, the USS Liberty, and the start of all wars. What pisses me off is Sean did not interrupt like he usually does when you talk about the Jews. And he could have said, well, Lee, we can't forget about the Bolshevik Jew Revolution communists that murdered 66 million Russians from 1957 to 1987. Nope. Just let it slide with not an interruption whatsoever, like he interrupted you. I left a lengthy comment, respectful but true, and I'm sure I'll be blocked. And when I am, I'll let you know that Sean blocks people who disagree with him. If he doesn't block me, then I'll let you know he didn't block me. Now, I'm sharing this with you, Dustin, because you were mentioning the Nazis and also because you've been on Sean's show. So what I'm trying to figure out is, why is it that people are afraid of naming the Jew? And why, if they don't paint the Jew with a broad brush, do they find it so easy to paint all Nazis with the broad brush? I can tell you, I met Nazis when I was a young child, and my father took me to Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And at a very young age, I met some Nazis, and they were not the demons as they're described. They were actually very kind to me and very gentle. And I'm saying this as a child. So if you can't say that it's all the Jews, and I'm not saying it's all the Jews, then why can you go ahead and say it's all the Nazis?
Well, it is all the Jews, but many people are afraid to say this, or they just don't understand it. Now, with Sean, I'm not sure, you know, which it is or where his line is drawn, but I can't judge people in general for not knowing everything that I know, especially when it comes to something so controversial and so in-depth and so requiring multifaceted backgrounds of knowledge, biblical, scientific, archaeological, etymological, anthropologic, etc. I mean, you've got to know a lot of different backgrounds to put these things together. And I don't blame someone like Sean who doesn't know that all Jews are genetic demons from the Old Testament. I mean, that's not something that most people do know yet. I think that it is catching on. I think that they're ready for it. It is a big truth that the Bible speaks of about a quarter of the time. The lineage of Satan, the fallen angels and their Nephilim offspring, all the way from the Nephilim to the Canaanites to Edom at the end. But they're there the whole time, and this bloodline is responsible for all that child sacrifice and the cannibalism and the passing of their sons through the fires to Baal or Moloch, etc. So, you know, there's a lot to this, but it is indeed the whole race. But I don't blame people if they don't know that. And in terms of the fear around naming the Jew, I get it. They have a lot of power. There's a lot of them out there right now calling for us to be hurt. So I get it. But they're coming for you either way. So being afraid doesn't help. And not naming the Jew merely means that you are contributing to the slaughter at this point. So I mean that kindly, but I those who are afraid to name the Jew, I first of all, I want to say it won't help. They already think you're a Nazi terrorist. They're already coming for you. Their goal is to wipe you out. if you're white or if you're Christian, and everyone else they're planning to enslave. And secondly, I want to take inspiration from Yeshua or Jesus Christ himself. He named the Jew harder than anyone ever, and he was killed for hate speech laws after he did so, exactly what we're now dealing with. So when he offended the Jews, they had Rome, the enforcement mechanism that they controlled, the police basically, kill him and torture him for what amounted to modern hate speech or blasphemy laws. We're there again. It has now come full circle, and we're dealing with the Book of Revelation events. So expect persecution. Expect to be beheaded if you keep his name. But smile, because we've already won.
Yeah, and I want to thank Sean, because he is one of the few people that dares to have a guest like you and I on, and he does allow us to name the Jew. So again, I just want Sean, who I know listens to this podcast, to know that I'm not saying this as a mudslinging. I'm just saying this with love, because like Dustin says, you heard that guy. They want to hurt us. They want to destroy us. They have no problem saying that they hate us. And if you don't name who these people are, I want to share this comment as well, because I think this is interesting what they just passed, this law, the anti-Semitism law in the United States. This person has an interesting take on it. I agree with the law. This makes it extremely important to identify the real Jews, to identify the Sabbatean infiltrators who commit crimes that are later attributed to the Jews through DNA tests. You can now know who is or is not a real Jew. So if they are claiming that you're being an anti-Semite, then you can then use the lawfare against them and demand that they prove that they are in fact a Jew by having them take a DNA test. Wouldn't that then show that you're not being anti-Semitic if these people are not even Semites? How can you charge somebody with being anti-Semitic if when they take the DNA test, it turns out that they're from Khazaria or they're from Europe? They're nowhere near Palestine.
Yeah, well, it's not just the Sabbateans or the Zionists or the Israeli Jews or the Sephardics, etc. Even Jewish geneticists have admitted that they are a common race. They are, in fact, basically all genetic cousins. And they're all one tribe, just scattered around and mixed in different colors, basically. But genetically speaking, they are one people. And that is how the Bible describes them, as Edom, with the main branch being Amalek, the main family, sort of the Rothschild types, I imagine. I can't prove it yet. But that's what we're dealing with here. Jews in any color, one race out to destroy everyone else of all colors, whom they believe are Goyim, who are beneath them, as they call us. And it's in their religion, especially if you're white or Christian, because it goes back to the Genesis 3:15 seed war and Loxism. So, you know, I can show you videos if you want of rabbis and their congregations all dressed up in, you know, Jewry, full Judaism, a conservative so-called Jews who are out there torturing effigies of child dolls in order to just have fun and to teach their congregation. They'll get up there and point guns at it and do a full noose. A full scaffolding, and they'll hang a doll, and they'll punch it and kick it and laugh and run around and do music, because this is what they're into. And, you know, if you haven't figured it out yet, I think you've got the video. Yeah, if you haven't figured it out yet, they're the ones pulling children into the sewers all over the world. They're the ones crawling out of the sewers when they get caught, like in New York. And it has become, at this point, not a difficult pattern to spot. Everyone in the world realizes it is the Jews. They just haven't realized it's all the Jews.
So I'm showing the video that you're speaking of right now, where they have little kids pointing guns at this effigy of a young child while it's being hung and being beaten. So this is not considered hate speech. It's okay, again, to torture, beat, and kill the non-Jew because they see us as beasts, as animals, as goyim. So can you help me, please, and those who are listening, to understand it's not the Zionists, it's not the globalists. And the reason why I think it's not, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, is that those are new terms. They weren't around when Jesus Christ was around, whether people want to believe that Jesus was an alien or an Elohim or just made up by the Jews. Again, these people identified as Jews, not as Zionists, not as globalists, they were kicked out of 109 countries, documented over 1,000 times. So why are people, again, can you just help me? Like, how would you, Sean is a common denominator between the two of us. How would you explain to Sean? It's the Jews.
Well, you know, starting at the beginning, you know, Genesis 3:15, the prediction from God, basically the first prophecy and curse in the Bible, that the seed of the woman would be at odds or at war with the seed of the serpent. You go right from there up until the giants of the Bible, all the way up to little Goliath after the flood later on. And then they were told to, quote, leave nothing alive, end quote, of those tribes, man, woman, and child, even the animals, even the plants in some cases, because they were monsters, because they were cannibalistic demon giants and tyrant demigods. Basically, that was their personality and disposition, living demons with the bodies of giants. And they ruled over multiple empires of mankind in which they demanded blood sacrifice. For example, the Mayans and the Egyptians, etc., who had the elongated skull creatures all over their walls, for example, you know, in terms of their temple paintings and art and statues, etc. So, you know, every continent, every myth, etc., all talks about this non-human bloodline that ruled over us, except for the Christian one, which talks about them in a different angle. It's actually the original perspective, the Hebrew perspective of Genesis is where you get the twisted perspectives of every other religion. However, I digress. The point is, this bloodline has been there behind every bad thing that has happened to mankind, almost, including virtually every war that we have been in, including most of our cities being burnt down, from Nero burning down Rome, his own city, Emperor of Rome, burning down Rome in order to blame the Christians because his Jewish girlfriend, I imagine like a Sarah Silverman type with just a charming personality, decided to convince him to kick his pregnant wife to death and burn down the city to get the Christians. So then they started to throw them to the lions and burn them and make them fight each other in the Colosseums, etc. This is the hatred that they have always shown. They were behind the great fires of London and Chicago, both of London's fires, one incidentally in 1666, and they liked their numbers. Every bad thing that has happened, including the modern wars, including the Federal Reserve 1913 when they seized America, including when they took Berlin and moved Satan's throne there, including when they took Russia and communist China, it was Jews standing behind Chairman Mao. The race wars in America, it was them. It was Jews standing behind Rosa Parks on the bus who put her up to it. Even Ben Shapiro admits that. And it was Jews who put, you know, Martin Luther King up to his speeches as well to sort of create race riots in their time when there wasn't that much animosity before. They stir up the races. It was the Jews who destroyed the black family under LBJ with his Great Society Project. It was the Jews who killed the Tsar and destroyed the last defender of Christianity and burnt and starved and massacred and raped 20 to 80 million Russian Christians on their land. It's always the Jews, every single time, always has been, and God told us so. And I'm happy to give evidence for that from Scripture. I've got an article I can pull up called God Said It's All of Them, the Entire Race, at thesarapayim.com, my hidden history site. And, you know, frankly, it's extensive. There's plenty of biblical witness to this. Like I said, leave nothing alive, etc. God promised us war every generation with Amalek. That means every generation we're going to have war. Who's Amalek? The Jews. And when we let them into our nations, he promises us to be punished, for example, in Judges 2, when he says he will no longer drive them out, the nations that Joshua failed to kill, the Canaanites. He will no longer drive them out from among us, but he will use them to test us if we will keep the law like our fathers did. He warned us Jesus warned us a lot of times, calling them the seed of the serpent, the generation of vipers, of their father, the devil. He said they can't go where he goes, so where I go, you cannot follow, he told them, because they don't get into heaven. And he also told us in the parable of the wheat and the tares, he would tell us that there is a non-human bloodline that looks like man that grows alongside us that will be destroyed by fire at the end. Second witness would be Obadiah 18, when all Jews die. This is biblical prophecy, but people like to say that's a metaphor for sinners. Well, do sinners resemble the righteous? No. And in fact, every time in biblical precedent, from Genesis 3 all the way on, seed means seed. It does not mean a metaphor for teachings. It means seed. Now,
share your screen.
Keep going.
So you can show us what you said, but I have a couple of questions. First,
sure.
I was told that the word Jew is also made up, that wasn't what Jesus used to call them. And so again, then what do you call these people? Because nobody knows what to call them.
Edom.
Again,
demons.
So instead of calling them the Jews, we should call them Edom?
Edom. That's what the Bible calls them. That's what God calls them. That's the end times last enemy under the leadership of the fallen angels.
The thing is, nobody knows that. What I'm trying to say is, like, you have to name the enemy. And nobody comes up and says, hi, I'm Edom. Or, hi, I'm an Ashkenazi. Or, hi, I'm a Zionist. Or, hi, I'm a globalist. These people, like Blinken, like Mayorkas, like Janet Yellen, they identify as Jews. They don't identify as Edom. They don't identify as globalists. They don't identify as Zionists. So how is
they identify as everything? Everything but Jew, because they always want everybody to think that they're like them. So they identify as Russians. They are the Russians who say they are but are not, but do lie. They are the Chinese who say they are but are not, but do lie. They are the Judeans, like the Bible says, who say they are not but do lie. They blend in, they infiltrate, and then they use other people's identities. Like, for example, the Jews wearing swastika tattoos in the Azov battalion of Ukraine praying at the Wailing Wall. It makes no sense, except, oh, they don't want you to hate the Jews. They want you to hate the Nazis. So they dress like Nazis and commit war crimes against babies. Duh. And then it makes sense, and then it clicks, because that's what they've always done. They've actually been called the name stealers throughout history. And I apologize for interrupting there. I wanted to make that point.
No, that's okay. That's okay, because the thing is, again, if I'm wrong, I want to be – I'd rather be corrected. And that's what I'm saying. I feel strange when I'm on shows like with Sean with SGT, because, like I said, I love the guy. I think he's doing great work. But I'm like – conflicted. I'm like, am I wrong in saying that it's the Jews? Is he right? Is it the Zionists? Is it the globalists? Why am I keep saying that it's the Jews every time I follow the money and I see, like you said, the people that are doing all these things? They're controlling the people that are doing the bad things by using this Babylonian magic trick. They're the ones who are financing all this BLM, Antifa, and the mercenaries and the snipers and the wars. So to me, I follow the money to the top. It's the Jews.
Yeah, it is in fact the Jews. And I've got all the verse I shared. There's a lot more on here. I also want to share an image. I'll bring it up. And I just kind of finished this today, or I made it bigger today. People have probably seen it before, but this is bigger and better. Let me pull down this current sharing and do a different one. Okay, sorry, but I'm a little slow with Skype.
That's okay. Thank you for, because this is a lot of information, and for a lot of people, it's overwhelming.
So yeah, okay. I've got, go ahead.
No, take your time.
I've got examples here of sort of some modern famous Jews, such as Roger Stone, Laura Loomer.
Well, I didn't know he was a Jew, Roger Stone.
Barbara Streisand. Yeah, man, look at that noggin. And you can also see some of the ancient examples of their ancestors with the elongated skulls. These are real skulls or replicas of these skulls. And these are what they would look like with skin or flesh modeled with clay. You can see that there are, in fact, major differences between the skull, although subtle in the modern time. I mean, they blended very closely to us now. But here's a Barbara Streisand early on. You can see their skull is different than a normal human's skull. And in ancient depictions of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the some of the tribes of giants, here you go. They have this serpent-like head with a forward large jaw sort of jutting and a curved hooked nose going out over that large face with ears that are, you know, a little bit lower and more rounded, etc. And they've got that elongated skull, which is sort of telltale. They've lost that for the most part now, but it is not completely gone. You can still see the signs. And that's why plastic surgery is so popular with Jews. They basically invented it to hide the nose and for vanity, you know, bigger boobs, whatever. but it was mostly to blend in with their victims, because that's what predators do. And that nose is what a predator looks like.
I have a question. When I was in Peru, I saw skulls like that in the museums in Peru. So yes. the Jews were in South America as well?
The giants were all over the world, and every culture dealt with them. Every culture fought them. And the North Americans, for example, the Native Americans, they talked about having these redheaded giants that were not that big anymore, 11 footers or so at the biggest, I think. They had a war with them. They were cannibalistic, and they ran them into a cave and smoked them out, or smoked them to death. They all died in there, the Lovelock Nevada Indians and the stories of the Lovelock Caves. Well, they just found those giants recently. They've actually exhumed those bodies now. They're real. We've confirmed the Native American legends of wars with giants. That was the particular giants that they killed in that particular cave. And we've got giants all over the place, like in Rockwall, Texas. They flooded the rock wall megalithic structure to hide the giant bones everywhere with a lake. But it's still there. Just go snorkel and you can find you some giant bones. If it's legal, I don't know. Probably not. Yeah. And this is everywhere. Yeah.
This is what's confusing to some people. If they're a tribe and they're supposed to be united and just hate the non-Jews, then why do they persecute people like Roger Stone and other Jews who are whistleblowers? Or are we just watching the show where they make pretend that they're persecuting these people, but in actuality, it's just a show we're watching?
It's always been a show, and it's actually the most ancient of teachings. What the fallen angels, in part, taught to Adam and Eve, this line, not a genetic lineage, because that was not sexual. People think it was. The Nephilim came later. But what they learned, just like the tree of knowledge of like a martial arts school, you have like Ip Man taught Bruce Lee, and then Bruce Lee came up with all these things and made it cool. But Ip Man was his teacher, and he taught the specific form of Kung Fu, and you can trace it all the way back, right? So with martial arts, it's sort of like that. They learned the martial arts skills from the fallen angel, Satan, or the Lucifer character of the Bible, the serpent, to control mankind, to divide and conquer, to manipulate both sides, to good cop, bad cop, to order out of KO, order ab KO, or order out of chaos, the Hegelian dialectic. They have been doing this since the beginning. They admit this. The Freemasons in their own writings admit that the teachings that they pass down are the knowledge of good and evil. And the sorts of things that they teach people in their occult societies are how to divide and conquer and play mankind. So you've got Jews on both sides leading everything, including every possible white cause that you would think that they wouldn't particularly be interested in. It's always the Jews leading everything because they want to get ahead of everything. For example, right now in the schools, you've got Jews leading protests against Israel, because they're trying to get ahead of all of the actual organic protests out there. So they're trying to become the leaders. They're trying to speak for it. They're trying to get out there and make it look bad. You see all of these variants, and you see a lot of Soros money pouring into protests against Jews. That doesn't make any sense until you realize he's paying Jews to sabotage and to take over and to co-opt movements because they need to get ahead of it. That is their tactic. It's what they've always done. So really what they're doing is they're playing both sides. They're good cop, bad copping us. They always have been.
What's interesting is that what you just said is being exposed, and the people are waking up. Listen to this girl.
I always felt uncomfortable with white people who pretend like they care about black people and who were like posting Black Lives Matter stuff. And I never understood it until now. All those white people were Jews. Now it makes sense. It always gave performative. And I could never put my finger on it because I was like, I don't want to be that black person that, you know, I see white people making an effort and for some reason I'm uncomfortable with it. What the heck is that about? It's because they were Jews the whole time. There's no way they believe in freedom and liberation when they've been casually enslaving the Palestinian people for over 75 years and counting. They've been promoting that, endorsing that, protecting all of their leaders who have been doing that. Like, there's no way in hell they actually believe that black people deserve freedom. They never were for our liberation. And now I get it. It's because they're Jews. Like, these people, when I see racists now, I think they're all Jews. Just had an epiphany. I need to go to Tiffany's. Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense why I never felt comfortable with them. Now it makes sense why there was always something that was just dead. I was nagging at my soul, like, they're lying. But I couldn't place it, you know? And I didn't want to say anything out loud because I was like, I don't want to seem like I'm holding the movement back, but I'm telling y'all, they're lying. There's no way these people actually want freedom for us. And it always makes sense now why they would always come in and try to find some way to water down the movement and to play some sort of game and to destroy the movement from the inside out. It makes sense now because for so many years, Black people and the Palestinian people have been aligned and have been allies trying to help each other get freedom, trying to get liberation together. Now it makes sense why they've been so invested in the Black community and Black movements and Black progress. And they've been doing everything to keep Black people from ever moving forward. We get it now. We get it now. You know, they don't want us to move forward because of the allyship we always have with Palestinian people. And because they can't continue the hypocrisy anymore. If they are saying, yeah, Black people deserve freedom because we're human beings. It is our right. We have God-given free will. And y'all never had the right ever. And you will never have the right to take our free will away from us. If they can acknowledge that with Black people, then why the hell can't they acknowledge that with the brown people, the Palestinian people that they've been enslaving for 75 years and counting? You know, the hypocrisy just adds up. So it's all been performative this whole time. It's all been performative. And now I get it. And like I said, when I see racist people now, I immediately think you're probably Jew. You're probably one of those.
Yep.
It's interesting because I noticed that it's the Blacks and the Muslims, the brown people, and even the Latinos that notice that it's the Jews. But white people like Sean are still with that white guilt that they can't bring themselves to call out the Jew. Somehow, the Jews manage to get such white guilt in Caucasians that they'll call them Zionists, they'll call them globalists, they'll call them deep state, but they won't call them what this Black girl has pointed out. It's the Jews.
It is. And, you know, Michael Jackson pointed this out in his lyrics. All I'm trying to say is they don't really care about us.
Yeah. And they don't care about the Blacks. The chief rabbi calls Black people monkeys. And the Black people are starting to realize, I've played this before, I'll play it again, because this is how they manipulate the Blacks.
The healing begins. This is what, because the Jewish community and the Black community, we should be together. Jews and Blacks should we shouldn't fight, but there shouldn't be tension. Jews and Blacks should get together and get whitey. I think.
Yeah, but the Black people are starting to wake up. And it's not just the Black people that are starting to wake up. It's also this younger generation is starting to wake up. Listen to this.
I saw this today. That's good.
Straight. In the U.S., you can't protest Israel because they'll send in police to arrest you. You can't boycott Israel because 37 states have passed anti-boycott laws protecting Israel. And soon enough, you won't be able to criticize Israel because U.S. politicians are about to pass a law that redefines what anti-Semitism is to include that criticizing the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. What the hell is going on? This is insane. People ask me why I've only talked about Israel and Palestine for the past 6 months. And my answer to that is, this is all American politics has become. Politicians have spent all of their time and energy over the past 6 months trying to protect Israel from its crime. Everything they've done. The federal budget includes dozens of things for Israel. They banned TikTok because of its pro-Palestinian influence. They're trying to redefine anti-Semitism. They've sent billions and billions of dollars to Israel. All of it. All of it, all the significant, notable things the U.S. government has done in the past 6 months has been for Israel. America has become overrun by Zionism. Zionism is what's in our politicians' wallets. Zionism is who our politicians look to, who they serve when they go on their annual trips to Israel. Zionism has turned the American government into a monstrosity that doesn't care about what the American people think, that doesn't care about humanity. They only care about what will get them more money from AIPAC and the pro-Israel lobby. It's no coincidence that Mike Johnson is funded by AIPAC.
So it's interesting. Again, the Blacks can call out the Jew, but this guy's white and he uses the word Zionism. Am I noticing something here? You're not supposed to say noticing either. Apparently that's anti-Semitic. So white people use the word Zionism, but black people and brown people, they use the word Jew. What's going on?
Well, they're in full panic that people are noticing, and the noticing has gone critical mass. Under Kanye West, some big things happened with the black community waking up, and now many of them are aware that Jews were 90% of the slave boats and slavers and slave owners, etc. At the end of the day, they have lost control. They are desperate to get it back. They're going to try some sort of false flag, etc., and they're going to try some heavy-handed tactics, because they have lost the carrot, they've lost the bread and circus. It is moving into force. It is moving into what history shows us tyrannies look like. And it's going to be the worst ever. People need to research the Holodomor. They need to research the Bolshevik Revolution, the Chinese Communist Revolution. People eat people. People eat their own babies. It gets bad. And they will push us to the brink in order to try to destroy us, because they know that we're waking up now. So a cornered animal, as they say, is most desperate, most dangerous, and they are cornered. There's nowhere for them to run. They have nowhere to flee to except Israel, and the world hates Israel. And although they're trying to make some more real estate over there, they're not going to regain the world's trust or devotion. Now they've moved into force. The world's militaries and police will stamp on people until people have had enough.
Now, you're in the United States, and all I'm hearing from people in the United States is that when they go to the shopping mall, or they go to the restaurants, or the bars, or the games, like football, baseball, that the people are totally asleep. They have no idea what you and I are talking about. So how is there any hope for the United States if everybody has their head in the sand?
Stop worrying about... I mean, this is hard for me, because it would keep me up at night. I would weep for people, because I see that most people won't make it. Even before I became a Christian, I realized there's such tragedy. There's an ocean of sorrows and horrors out there, and pain. But the Bible tells us most people don't make it. And once you come to terms with that, and that there is a remnant, you refocus your attention, at least in my opinion, on the people that matter. The people who do care, the people who are trying in this world, and those people are the only ones that really matter. The only thing that we can still put our attention and effort into that has results. Most people are suffering under the great deception. God himself will not allow them to see some of these truths, and that is because of their pride or because of their sin. So if they're not willing to accept that they were wrong and look into things and test all things and hold fast that which is true, many people will perish for lack of knowledge. And we're going to see that happen. It's going to be very sad. Many of them are our loved ones. We've begun to see it under the vax. We've seen it now under the J6 persecution. Now the persecution of Christians is hitting the West. Finally, I think it's actually a good thing. I think although people will suffer, it is going to wake us up faster and faster. And that's what tribulation's about. And I'll make a point of this. In fact, some Christian early leaders wrote about how they complained. They were complaining about how Rome legalized Christianity. And you'd think that would be a good thing. I mean, now we can practice and worship and not be arrested or killed or crucified for being Christians. Well, their complaint was that before it was pure and sincere, and afterwards it was filled with politicians and liars. And that's basically where we are going back to now. It is going to be pure. Is going to be those who are willing to suffer for his name. That's all. There won't be any politicians that people trust anymore soon.
Well, you know, what you said rings true with me, because I've also come to that conclusion and I've made peace with it. I've lost my family. I've lost most of my friends. As you know, in the comment section, a lot of people don't say the nicest things about you and I, because we do call out the Jew, but I'm fearless in that sense. And again, if I'm wrong, I will apologize. But so far, nobody's proven me wrong. And I want to share more of the screen with you to show you something else that I've had doubts about that I have in common with you. And that is Donald Trump. A lot of people have all their faith in Donald Trump. He will be their savior. I sent you this video, and this is one of the things that we were censored with last time when I played this video for you. But before I play that, I want to play this for you, because a lot of people don't know this.
You're going to have, the Jews will always control you. Everywhere you go in the world, who's running all the financial? Always the Jews. Started in power, Joseph, everyone. The Jews are in charge of the world. Science, financial, politics, behind the presidents. Even now, everybody knows that all the campaign of Donald Trump is his son-in-law, the Jew, Kash Kushner. I read it 3 different articles. He's the mastermind behind everything. He told him what to say, what not to say, how to react, things that he did in the end, that in the end worked out for him. And he is richer than him, don't get confused. He didn't marry him for his money. The family of his son-in-law are much wealthier than Donald Trump himself. Some people may think, oh, he married her because, she, you know, her father is the rich guy. No, 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 no. Very, very wealthy. They give loans of tens of millions of dollars to people for real estate. They're funders. They have a lot of money. Li'ainara. So that's how Hashem made the world. Abarbanel, in his time in Spain, was running the show. Everywhere, the Jews always run the financial. Here in America, Bernanke, who was before Greenspan, the Jews runs the show. Everywhere. The treasury, the one in charge, what's his name? The one that was in charge now is Mechutan, was davening with us in the Minyan, in Mincha. Tsar Haotzar, no, the treasury, also in charge of the money. Even in Arab countries, there are always hidden advisors that tell them what to do. There's not that many Jews in the world that ride a bicycle, Shento. I can tell you that. There's much more Mercedes and BMW.
Dustin, I'm noticing, I don't know if you're noticing that on your end, but there are hints to me that our podcast is being censored. So I'm going to take a break and I will call you back. And I just want to make sure that what happened last time doesn't happen this time. So I'm going to stop sharing. And this is the Maverick artist Victor Hugo reporting Modern Art Gonzo Journalism for the Modern Art Music Movement. I'm joined by Dustin Nemos. We'll be right back. And when we come back, I want you to please comment what you just saw. All right. We'll be back. I'm going to stop recording now.